Good morning. I'm glad you're able to join in hearing God's word today. I hope you're doing well. I've been serving at the church now for over 5 years, I believe, and it's been a joy. I've really been privileged to be able to serve here. But when I first came to the church, and in particular when I moved into the church office, I purchased a new desktop computer, and again, that was 5 years ago. I still have that desktop computer. It's in my office upstairs. Now, 5 years in a person's life, typically, a typical lifespan, 5 years is... would probably not be considered, or would probably be considered, a fairly long time. Again, depending on how old you are, if you're only age 10, 5 years is half your age. If you're older, 5 years may not be a long time, but it's still a significant amount of time. And but in terms of technologically, or when it comes to technology, 5 years is actually a very long time. That's how old my desktop computer is at church. And as such, it's not the fastest computer, let's just say. My typical routine when I get into the church office is one of the first things I do is I turn on my desktop. And then while it's starting up, I take care of a few things. I put away some books or some papers, organize my desk. I may put away my lunch downstairs in the refrigerator, maybe even use the restroom, go to the bathroom, clean up, tidy up some things. Then I come back to my computer and start my work. The reason why I take this break between starting the computer and actually then working or getting to work is because during that time, my computer is, you could say, turning on or getting ready for the day's job. And it takes several minutes, maybe 5 minutes, but yet it feels like 50 minutes. And so I've realized, you know, let's take care of some other things. Let's not just sit in front of the computer screen waiting for it to get ready or to, so I can get started on the day's work. Again, realistically, it's probably about 5 minutes, but it feels so much longer when you're just waiting there, sitting there for it to start. This morning we're going to be talking about patience. What is patience? Why is patience important to have? What are the challenges of being patient? And how can we, you and I, be patient in our own lives? Before we continue, though, let me open us in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you are patient with us, Lord. And God, we realize that as people, as living it in a fallen world, there are challenges, there are obstacles to being patient. And yet, Lord, you call us to do so. And I pray, Lord, that, in our lives, Lord, that we would surrender our own agenda, our own ideas, and adopt what you consider the priority for our lives, Lord. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, if you've been with us for the last several weeks, we've been focusing on what's called the fruit of the Spirit, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. And this morning we are looking at the aspect of the fruit embodied by patience. But if you have your Bibles, let me read that passage in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." If you've been with us the last several weeks, you know that I've emphasized how when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, and when it comes to the different aspects, you could say, of the fruit of the Spirit, this list of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, is not a list of 9 separate or individual fruit. But really, there are different, you could say, aspects, maybe dimensions, perspectives, perhaps, of the same, one and the same fruit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is singular. And we know that it's singular because of the verb which is used to attach with it, which is, well, is, you know, rather than are, which would be indicate a plural noun. Is singular, attached to the singular subject, fruit. So all of the listings, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, they are not individual fruit, but they are part of the one fruit of the Spirit. And this morning we're going to talk about the aspect or the dimension, you could say, of patience. Now, let's start off by talking about, well, what exactly is patience? Most of us have an idea of what patience is, but let's go back to the word which would be used in the New Testament, the Greek language in particular of the New Testament. This word patience is composed of 2 Greek words. One, makros, and the second, thymos. And these 2 words, 2 different Greek words, which combine, make up the word patience. You could probably guess, based on how the words sound, what is the implication of each. Makros epitomizes or means essentially having a long view, having a broad or a big picture, you could say. That's where we get the term makros, makros economics as opposed to microeconomics. Makros is the big picture. You could say micro is the more specific picture. Makros and thymos. Thymos is the idea of having passion, being intent, or you could say even angry. Perhaps that's where we get our English word thermos, something that keeps heat, continues being hot for a long period of time. So these 2 words essentially make up the Greek word for patience, essentially indicating someone or something that is has a long passion, right? Or you could even say a long anger, but not that that person is angry for a long period of time, but really that the person is waiting a sufficient amount of time, a long period, you could say, to express that anger. Maybe the opposite of someone who is patient would be somebody who is what we would consider short-tempered, has a short fuse, you might say. Somebody who's short-tempered, has a short fuse, gets angry at the drop of a dime, right? They're hot-headed, they're always erupting, they're always going off about something or someone. That would be the opposite of somebody who is long-tempered, or you could say patient. They wait a period of time before expressing their maybe emotions or their frustration or their ideas about something. They're not just randomly, quickly exploding and getting upset or getting angry, but they are waiting for perhaps, you could say, the appropriate time, the appropriate way to express their frustration or their anger or what's bothering them. That would be the meaning or the intent of what is patience. Taking a while, taking a long period before you express your feelings, your thoughts, even your anger at that point. Because when you've taken a long time, or when you've thought about it, when you pondered it, you're usually in a more calm state. You're expressing things that are bothering you, that you do feel very strongly about, but maybe the way that you're expressing it is in a much more relaxed manner. That will be the idea of patience. Now, sometimes in our culture, especially in our Asian culture, we often get the message of just silently stuffing things rather than expressing our emotions and our feelings. Now, on the outside, perhaps you could say that when we stuff our feelings or our ideas, that might on the outside look like patience. Someone is taking a while, not just reacting, not quickly blurting out what comes to mind. But I would argue that while on the outside, that may look like patience, oftentimes I know from firsthand experience, I may not be expressing my anger, my upsetness, my hot feelings outwardly, but inwardly, I am raging. I am angry. I am boiling, even though outwardly I may not be expressing it. I would argue that patience is not like that. Patience is, I'm not expressing my anger quickly. I'm not blowing my top right away. But I'm not quelling my feelings or my thoughts. I'm not, if you will, becoming apathetic, becoming passive, no longer caring about what needs to be addressed or what needs to be said or something that's bothering me. See, someone who's apathetic, they no longer care, right? They just have thrown in the towel. They don't even want to be bothered by it, which at times, okay, yeah, we may need to do that. But the danger is that what needs to be said, what should be said, doesn't get said because that person no longer cares. That person no longer is interested. That person is unconcerned. When it comes to patience, we're waiting for the appropriate time. Maybe you could say the appropriate way, maybe the appropriate place before we express our thoughts and our feelings. Maybe for you, this is something that you need to do in terms of being patient, in terms of waiting to express your anger, your feelings, your ideas, taking a sufficient time before you express those thoughts or those emotions. Not to suppress them, not to say that they're not valid, not to pretend like there's nothing there, but waiting a period of time before you express them. But not only do we want to talk about what is patience, but we want to talk about why be patient, or why is patience needed? And for that, we want to talk about several reasons why I believe we need to be patient, or we need to exercise patience. The first reason is that God Himself is patient, and He expresses that patience to us or with us. There's several verses that I'd like you to look up in your Bible. Psalm 86, verse 15. Psalm 86, verse 15 says this: "But you, O Lord, are a good, or sorry, but you, O Lord, are God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." Look how the psalmist describes God. He says, God is merciful, gracious to us, doesn't give us what we deserve. In fact, goes grace or graciousness actually means to give us not only not give us what we deserve, but give us more than we deserve. Someone who is slow to anger, or you could say patient, and He's abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. God Himself is patient. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, this is a passage that I've referenced for many times in the past, but 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says that the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. The Lord Himself is patient. He is slow to anger. God Himself is the example, you could say the epitome, of what it means to be patient. One addition to God being patient, we are called to be patient as well. Just as God is patient with us, we are called to be patient as well. There's several verses that I'd like us to look at. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3 says this. Paul's writing, he says, "Therefore, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." He's calling the Ephesians, among other things, to be patient with one another. James chapter 5, if you can also look at James chapter 5, verses 7 to 11, says this. Verse 7, James says, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Therefore, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we should consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job," or you could say the patience of Job, "and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is passionate and merciful." One other passage that I'd actually like us to look at is Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Romans 12, verse 12 says this: "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." These verses, many of these verses, most of these verses, actually have a connection with not only our call to being patient, we are called to be patient, but also connects being patient with encountering difficulty, encountering whether it's suffering, whether it's hardship, whether it's perhaps envisioned bearing with one another, meaning you're putting up or you're holding up, you're upholding another person, sometimes in a good sense, supporting them, sometimes maybe bearing their lack of mannerism, which we would prefer, which we would like. We're putting up, you could say, with another person, but in love. So the idea of patience is not just simply being patient for the sake of being patient, but being patient in particular in less than ideal circumstances and situations. Again, why be patient? Well, one is that God himself is patient with us, and we are called to be patient as well and to exercise patience with one another. A third reason that I would say or suggest about why we are called to be patient involves that we live in a sinful and broken society. We find ourselves as believers in Christ engaged in a spiritual battle, and therefore we need patience. We are called to be patient. God himself is an example of patience. We need patience in order to live in our present circumstance and society, in our sinful society, in our broken society. The fact that we are engaged in a spiritual battle which requires us to be patient. Ephesians, if you can also look at these verses, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12, describes this circumstance or the situation which we find ourselves living today. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces in the heavenly places." Also, if we could turn to Colossians, the next book, or two books over in the New Testament, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, says this, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." Both verses essentially describe or say that our present life in society, in culture, in our surroundings, we are engaged as believers in Christ in a spiritual battle for our hearts and our souls, for our attention and for our direction in life. Sometimes we're not aware of it. Oftentimes we're not aware of the spiritual battle that we are engaged in. We're just thinking about maybe the physical, the emotional battles or struggles in which we find ourselves in. But yet the truth of the matter is that we are engaged in a spiritual battle for our hearts and our minds. And therefore we need to exercise patience. We need to realize that in order to live in this broken, sinful world that I find myself in, even though God is fully in control, we are in a sinful world, and that requires us to exercise patience. Patience with another person, patience with our circumstance and situation, even you could say patience with ourselves. we talked about what is patience. We talked about why we are called to be patient or why patience is needed. Let's further talk, or lastly talk about, where I may need to exercise patience and with whom I may need to be patient with. Specific circumstances or situations, practical application in our lives. Now that we understand what patience is, now that we understand why we are called to be patient, where and with whom perhaps, or am I needing to be patient or to exercise patience with? Christian author John Ortberg, I believe he's also a pastor, has a book that's called The Life You Always Wanted. And in that book, he writes, hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. Hurry can destroy our souls. Hurry can keep us from living well. We've talked about patience and the need to have patience. Perhaps the antithesis, you could say, of patience is hurry. When we're hurrying, when we're rushing around, we have a tendency, I know I have a tendency, to lose my temper easily, to get frustrated easily, to get angry more easily. John Ortberg writes, hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. Or you could say the antithesis of patience. If we're constantly in a hurry, if we're constantly running about from A to Z, from this place to that place, worried that we're going to be late, that we're missing out, that someone is getting ahead of us, we are going to have a hard time being patient with God, with other people, even with ourselves. Now, there are times where, yeah, we do need to move quickly. We do need to be in a hurry. We do need to take care of this situation or this circumstance. But if we are constantly finding ourselves 24/7 on the go, sometimes the hurry in our lives is not just physical, moving from point A to point B, but oftentimes I find myself hurrying in my mind, hurrying in my heart. My brain is constantly moving 50, 60, 70 miles an hour, even though maybe I may be sitting down. I may be lying down. I may be sitting in my chair, but I'm constantly thinking about something. It's constantly in motion. Hurry in my mind, in my heart, makes it very difficult, almost impossible, to exercise patience. Where in your life do you find yourself not just needing to exercise patience but really finding yourself hurrying from this circumstance to this situation? Where in your life, what does it involve? Who is involved with this idea of constantly being on the move? Whether it's physically, it may just be mentally, emotionally, it may perhaps even be spiritually. As we've looked at these different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, last week, if you happen to be with us, we talked about peace. And if you haven't figured it out or if you haven't thought about it already or realized that if you've been with us again through this message series so far, many of these different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit there's a lot of connection or relationship between each other. They're not just like individual aspects that have no bearing, no relation with one another. There's a lot of tie-in, actually, with each other. For instance, love and joy. I would argue love and joy oftentimes, most of the times, all the time perhaps, go hand in hand. Where you have love, you also have joy. Where you have joy, you also have love. Where you don't have love, I would argue you don't have joy. The same thing is also true with not just patience, but what we looked at last week, peace. Peace and patience, I would say, oftentimes go hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other, or it is extremely difficult to have one without the other. For instance, when you have patience with someone or something, there's usually a sense of peace, right? And if you have peace with someone or something, I'm usually able to exercise more patience. Where in your life do you find yourself needing to exercise patience? Who in your life do you find yourself needing to exercise patience with? What I find that helps me to exercise patience with another person in particular, or maybe even myself, is to try to look at the situation. If it's another person, try to look at that person, but try to look at life through their eyes. Right? I try to put myself in their shoes and how they might perceive or see a situation or a circumstance. If I'm getting frustrated, if I'm losing my patience with them, I need to step back. I try to step back and try to put myself in their shoes and how they might see the situation that's causing friction or frustration or causing me to lose my patience with them. And again, trying to look at things from their perspective. That helps me to then, oh, okay, perhaps this is what they're thinking, or perhaps this is why they're doing this. Rather than just reacting to what they're doing, rather than just responding right away, getting frustrated, getting angry. Not only stepping back and trying to look at life through the other person's perspective, but reminding myself that God is patient with me. That because God exercises great patience with me, I am also called to reflect God in my life by extending patience to other people. Several passages that come to mind, which you're probably familiar with. In Luke chapter 15, there's three parables that are given: the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. All exercise, or in particular, the lost son, demonstrate the patience of God with ourselves. In the parable of the lost son, the father in the story is the example of God and his patience with his son. Even though the son is off doing, living life the way he wants to live, the father is patient. The father, you could say, exercises great patience towards the son. What helps me is not only to take a step back and try to assess the person that I'm dealing with and put myself in their shoes, but to remind myself that God exercises great patience with me. That allows me, that reminds me to there then exercise patience with another person. Lastly, God reminds me to be patient with myself. Being patient with other people is a challenge already, but maybe it's even more difficult, perhaps, to extend patience to ourselves. I know that sounds weird, doesn't make sense, but quite honestly, I forget that I am a work in progress, that God is still molding and making me more like Christ. There's still a long way to go, right? There's still things that I do that are wrong, frustrate God, improper, unneeded. And yet, God is patient with me. Can I be patient with myself, my own faults, my own failures, my own sinfulness, my own selfishness? Not only being patient with others, but being patient with myself. Being reminded that God is patient with me. How is God calling you to exercise patience? Who is God calling you to exercise patience with? It may be another person. It may be in a particular circumstance, situation. It may be with yourself. Will you ultimately be patient because God is the epitome of patience towards us? Let me pray for us. Father, we again thank you, God, that you are the gracious and good God, giving us what we truly do not deserve, forgiveness of our sins, and a relationship, restored relationship with you, Lord. God, I pray that as we live out our lives, it is not out of duty, not out of obligation, not because we have to respond in this way, but because we desire to, in order to give you praise, in order to give you glory, in order to demonstrate our appreciation for all that you've done for us, specifically through your Son, Jesus, Lord. And God, I pray that whether it's with other individuals, maybe a coworker, classmate, family member, whether it's with ourselves even, Lord, that we would exercise patience because you have given us great patience first, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that, again, at the end of the day, Lord, that all the glory and honor goes to you. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, go on and have a blessed day and hope to see you soon. God bless.